From the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and the first six verses. After this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. The scripture passage is a familiar one. It's a favorite story of both kids and adults. You know what's coming next, right? The feeding of the 5,000. It's a story that every single gospel has. And the other gospels fill in some of the details for us. I'm going to give you a few of those. And then Susan's going to put some pictures up. And we're going to try to put ourselves into the scripture passage and maybe experience a little bit of what that day was like. So here are the details that if you would read the other stories and the other gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, here's what you'd learn from that. So from Matthew, we learn that the place that Jesus went with his disciples was remote. Not a thing like you turn television on with, not that kind of remote, but a far away, lonely, kind of barren, deserty, rocky, out-of-the-way place where hopefully nobody else would find them. Ever go to a place like that when you just want to get away? It wasn't one of those popular tourist spots on Galilee or a picnicking place. Well, then Mark tells us that the disciples had recently returned from their ministry tour. Remember the time that Jesus sent out the disciples and reminded them, don't take any unnecessary thing, just the bare essentials, and go to the neighboring towns? He kind of sent them on a circuit riding, without the ride probably, a circuit tour of the villages to share the good news of Jesus. They had just come back from that experience, and they had all kinds of things to tell Jesus. And then three of the Gospels remind us that this was also, this time, was also right after John the Baptist, who was Jesus', remember what relative he was of Jesus? Who was John the Baptist to Jesus? Cousin, that's right. He was Jesus' cousin. And probably John the Baptist was also the first rabbi to some of the disciples. They had followed John before they followed Jesus. Some scholars think anyway. So, what had happened to John? He had just gotten his head chopped off by Herod. He had just been killed on a whim of a birthday wish. Yuck. So we're going to take a look at this is the Sea of Galilee. Take a good look at it and try to forget that you're sitting on a cushion, on a pew, and try to imagine that you have hiked up this hill with Jesus and you're finding a place to sit. Think of all the things you're feeling if you were a disciple. Probably tired, you just got back from a long tour of tromping around the villages and telling people about Jesus, and some people were excited and other people were like, get away. You were able to heal people through the power of Jesus. And you want to talk to Jesus, and you're sad. John the Baptist is dead. You're not going to see him anymore. And you're tired, too, of crowds, because they seem to follow Jesus everywhere. But Jesus said, come on, guys, we're going to get away. Right? So you find a place, you find a place in the grass. It's getting warm. It's early in the morning. You know how there's still maybe a little bit of a chill, but you find a place in the grass and you sit down. Does the grass tickle your legs a little bit? Can you feel the warmth of the sun coming up? Listen, you should hear some seagulls screaming around in the distance. And if you're really quiet, you can hear the water of Galilee just lap, lap, lapping on the shore. It's a really soothing rhythm, and you start to relax, and you start to feel how sad and how tired you are, and how glad you are that you're with Jesus. Uh-oh, but wait a minute. Do you see that little dust ball out there? I think it's people. It is people. Look, there's a whole bunch of people coming. They're coming again. Crowds and crowds and crowds of people. They want to see Jesus do more miracles. I just want to be with Jesus all by myself. But I know what Jesus is going to do because it's just like him. He has compassion on the crowds. He sees them. He knows they need a savior. He knows they're sick and they're hurting inside. So, like Jesus always does, when the crowds come and now my space is getting pushed around, I've got to stand up and move. They found us. Jesus is already gone. He's out walking among them and he's touching people and he's healing them. And I bet he starts teaching. Yep. That's what he does. And now the sun is getting warmer. And the bugs are coming out. These stinking little gnats, they just get in my face and they crawl up and it's getting hot. We've been here for a really long time. I don't even think we had lunch. I'm getting hungry. And Jesus is still talking. He really talks a lot. He has such good things to say. It's not that. It's just, man, I'm just tired. One impatient disciple comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, send these crowds out of here. They've been here a long time. They're tired. They're hungry. Just send them away. How do you think Jesus reacts to that? He points to one of the disciples, Philip. I don't know why. But he says, Philip. I better look because I can't remember the exact words. Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? It's not like there's a giant around the corner. Lord, we walked for miles to get up to this hill. It would take us forever. We'd have to work and work and work and work and work to get enough money to buy bread for these people. And they probably didn't say it out loud, but under their breath, they thought, you're crazy. We can't find, there's no way we can do this. Do you remember what the Bible said? Jesus was testing Philip. Jesus already had a plan. Jesus always has a plan. Jesus always has something that he's going to do. Do you know what happens next? Do you remember? Andrew comes up to Jesus. Andrew was another one of the disciples. Do you remember what Andrew said? He was out around the crowd, and he, I'm kind of locked behind her because I don't think he'd hear me if I walked down there, but he walked around the crowd and he spotted a boy. You remember what that boy had? This is okay to be interactive. What? Toes? Loaves. Loaves and fish. How many loaves? Uh-huh, good remembering. Five, not big white bread loaves, but five little barley loaves and two fish. I wonder what Andrew looked like when he walked to Jesus. He said, Jesus, here's five loaves and two fish. But, you know, how far can that go? What was Jesus' plan? Philip and Andrew were coming out of this belief that we are lacking so much here. This isn't going to happen. But what did Jesus do? Oh, remembers. See, this is what Christian Ed's all about. We never just keep going on and on and on. He fed them, right? But first, they had to do something. He said, sit down. And then he distributed the loaves and the fish. Do you remember how many men there were? Didn't even count the ladies and the kids. He remembers. It's okay to talk out loud. Thank you. 5,000. 5,000. And when they had eaten as much as they wanted, Jesus told the disciples to do one more thing. Do you remember what it was? It's a good idea. Does your mom ever say this? My mom used to say this. We are not wasting this. Jesus said, go around and collect what's left so there's nothing wasted. Do you remember how many baskets they came up with? 12, that's right. Do you remember how many disciples there were? 12. I wonder what Jesus was trying to tell those guys. Well, after that, the crowds went wild and they were ready to make Jesus king, and Jesus, it was not his time. So he went off to a place where people couldn't get to him. And you can flip the slide now, please. And the disciples were hanging around waiting for Jesus. And it started to get dark. They were like, where is Jesus? They went down to the shore by the boat. Do you see Jesus? No, I don't see Jesus. What do you think we should do? It's getting dark. I don't want to go across the whole Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night. It's bad enough we fished there in the middle of the night. Finally, they gave up. And they got in the boat, and they pushed out, and they started going. Galilee's not a huge lake, but it's big. And because the mountains are around it, it's like this basin where all these storms start gathering. And guess what happened? A storm came up. We don't need any more chaos in our life. Can't we just have a nice smooth sail for once, from one point to the next? Then who appeared in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm? All the confusion and the chaos didn't bother Jesus at all. He came walking on the water, scared the disciples. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. And here's something in the book of John that John hardly ever says. You expect to hear it from Mark, but John said, and immediately they were to the shore. They got to where they were going when Jesus got into the boat. We're going to talk more about that later, but as I was reading that and I was struggling to come up with a scripture for today, but this is the one that I am quite sure God gave to me. We have been experiencing a lot of those same kind of feelings this year. We're going to take you through, briefly, a year in the life of Christian education, let you see what's been happening, and then we'll get back to this. We switch just a little bit. Okay. So, Christian education, really quickly, our main goal is... There you go. It's to encourage, to teach, to admonish, so that the word of Christ can dwell in each one of us richly, and that we can grow in wisdom. Here's what we do. This is straight off our job description. With classes and small groups and special events and coordinating the nursery and children's chat, I know you can read. We oversee the youth group and the small groups, vacation Bible school, traveling day camps, and whatever else comes along that might be edifying and educational. The adults have been studying 10 women of the Bible with Pat Brown. I think she slipped out. But we, just to say, Pat is such a dedicated and committed teacher. They have enjoyed this book, and we are just blessed by Pat's intentional study of the word and her teaching. And that class has a lot of fun. I talked to Marilyn today, and they're on their last chapter, so ready to start a new study soon. Okay. Thank you, Pat. One of the big focuses, of course, of Christian ed, not to minimize the adults at all, but is our children, are our children. And I have a feeling that each of us here, each adult, has taken this vow at one point or another. And a lot, if not all, of what we do is in fulfillment of this vow. We take it very seriously. It's a serious thing to take a vow before God. And we've answered this when the pastor has asked, "Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture whatever child is being baptized by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging the child to be a faithful member of this church?" That is not an easy task. It is something that takes intentionality. It is something that you're going to get bucked up against. But we appreciate each one of you that takes the time to encourage these great kids and look out for the ones that have been here occasionally but aren't now. We scratch our heads and say, why? Why is that? Maybe just a word of, "Hey, we miss you, come on out," from us would be encouraging. It's especially hard as a parent these days to carry this out. And my heart is just, I don't know, does a big swelling when I see the dedication of you parents and your kids sitting with you and the deliberation that you take to instruct your kids and raise them according to the ways of God. Abby and Leah have a little skit, though, to show you how sometimes it's not always that easy.
All right, come on, Abby. Time to brush your teeth.
I don't want to brush my teeth.
Abby, it doesn't matter if you want to brush your teeth or not. It's important. I'm the parent, and I know that it's important to brush your teeth. So you need to brush your teeth.
Okay.
Abby, it's time for school. Have to go to school. It's important, and it's the law. I'm the parent, and I know you have to go to school. Let's go.
Okay.
Abigail, eat your vegetables.
But I don't want to eat them. They're yucky.
Abby, I'm the parent, and I know that those vegetables are healthy. Please try them.
Okay.
Abby, time to go to church.
But I don't want to go to church.
Abby, we go to church to worship God and to learn more about Him. I'm the parent, and I know that God gave me that very important responsibility to take you to church and help you learn. Plus, there's lots of fun things to do there.
Oh, I love junior church.
Yeah, what about children's choir?
Oh, yeah, that too. I'll go get my Bible.
Okay, let's go.
Children's chat might be an obvious way of nurturing our kids, and that's very important, and we sure appreciate all of you guys that take the challenge and prepare a lesson. There's always help if you're short on ideas. So when someone comes and asks you, would you be willing? Don't be afraid. We will support you. One huge blessing that we had this year came through Junior Church. The kids have been having a ball up there. This was a year ago in September when we started a new program after we had our socks knocked off of us with the Griffiths and the Cunninghams coming to us and saying, hey, would you mind if we took on Junior Church for the year? Huh? No, not at all. We wouldn't mind at all. We worked together and got the curriculum going, and they have been just a powerhouse of commitment and dedication and preparation and instructing our children, walking them through the Bible. They are getting a much deserved break, but still are willing to figure out who that was. That about sums up Chrislyn this year. Okay. A couple of those slides within the little youth packet there were from Triennium, and we had two representatives from our church go this year, Riley and Danny, and they have agreed willingly, happily, to come and share a little bit of what happened in their life there.
So this year, Danny and I, we had the pleasure to attend Triennium, which is a Presbyterian youth conference that's held every 3 years at Purdue University in Indiana for youth from all over America and outside of it. This year, we were there with people from California to Taiwan. And over the week that we were there, our schedule consisted of waking up and going to breakfast, which was right beside where we slept, and then moving on to small groups where we were with a group of 15 to 20 kids, I would say, none of which were from our groups that we came with. So I got to meet new people there, and we would get a preview of the bigger lesson that day, which would come after lunch. And that was at group worship, which had singing, playing games with everybody, and then listening to the sermon, which had the theme over the week of Here's My Heart and other lyrics from Come Thou Fount. And then we would go to dinner, and after dinner there would be optional activities, but I was always too tired, so I spent my extra time resting in the dorm where we stayed. But another exciting part of it was that during the free time between all these activities, I got a glimpse into a college campus life, which was an awesome experience for me, and I got to explore the campus, which was great, including the Neil Armstrong building, which I learned that while we were there, the exact day that we were there was the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's landing on the moon. So that was pretty cool because he attended Purdue and all that. And I just wanted to thank the congregation for the financial aid that we got, and the experience was great.
So I would like to share a personal story. So when the opportunity of Triennium was brought up to Riley and I, my first thought was, well, I'm not going to go if Riley's not going, because I didn't want to be all by myself and I wasn't really comfortable with meeting new people yet. So Riley and I talked about it, and we decided that we'd both go. And on the way there, we stuck to each other like glue, and we never left each other's sight until small groups. Like Riley said, we didn't know anybody in our small groups. And they were in completely different buildings on the campus. So when I arrived in my small group, there were already a couple people in there. But I just sort of started reading. But when the small group started, we did icebreaker exercises to get to know each other. And I quickly realized the boy next to me played string bass, and I thought that was really cool, so we started talking about it. And all throughout the small group, we were talking to each other about music and our interests, and throughout that whole thing, I didn't even really think about Riley. No offense, Riley. So, at the end of the week, we exchanged contact information, and we still talk to him. I still talk to him, and even though he lives all the way in Kansas. So what I learned is that sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone in order to make memories that last a lifetime.
Said we come back to the scripture. We'll do it fast. But the year here within the church had some really good points, but some really discouraging points for us as Christian Ed Committee too. As we would plan, and you know these ladies, you just don't do anything half-heartedly. You put everything into it. So when we decorate, we just don't put one balloon up. We go for it, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And others joined us, and it was wonderful. And then we'd plan, and we'd wait, and five kids would show up, and that's wonderful. We love it. Every kid is important, and we would never. Numbers are not the issue, but we wondered, where is everybody, and why does it seem that things related to God aren't that important? And it's preaching to the choir here, right? You're here, but there's many that aren't right now, and it's a heavy burden for our heart. We are undecided about what to do for Chrisland this year. It was tough. It was the toughest year that we had. There were over 100 kids here. We had issues come up that we never had to deal with before. And it just seemed like one after the other, after the other, after the other. And yet, there are bright spots too. There are good spots. And as I come back to the scripture, I have to ask myself, am I a Philip? Am I an Andrew? Can I trust that Jesus is working out of his abundance and not just out of some meager offering? He's the God of the universe. He has a plan, always. Can I trust him to go and give even what I may think are my limitations and my meager little pieces of bread and fish and let him use it? Maybe he's not going to multiply it for 5,000 people. Maybe it will just be one life that he touches through your offering. But I'd like you to ask yourself that question. When you think of this passage, who do you relate to? Who are you? Are you a Philip? Are you an Andrew? Are you one of the crowd that wants to come to Jesus and be as close to him as you can? I just encourage you, we're not here to lay guilt on you, but we are here just to put out to you that that there is still a harvest, as Reverend Zorn told us last week. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are still few. And we are so grateful for all of you who have labored, and it doesn't have to be in Christian Ed, because there are many, many other facets of the church. But at the very least, would you please pray for our kids, for those who are here, for these awesome teens that are growing, and for those that aren't here too. I think it is time to join together in the affirmation of faith before, nope, we're going to hear from Elaine first. Okay, I won't change it anymore.
So now you know the Christian Education Committee is struggling. We do not know what to do. We don't know what we want to do. We don't know what God wants us to do. Serve the children of our church or serve the children of our community? If you would allow me to quote Pastor Cindy, I might say something today that you don't want to hear. And I guarantee you I will chat a little longer than she did. For starters, the combination of the two, serving the children of our church and serving the children of our community, it's not working out as well as we wish it would. So as you heard Ginny say, we wonder if moving forward, our time and energy and financial support should be devoted only to the children of the Lewistown Presbyterian Church. But please allow me to refer to a scripture, a familiar one from Matthew 28. Before Jesus went to his heavenly throne, he spent one last time with his disciples and he told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." In other words, teach others about Jesus. That's our responsibility as Christians, our mission in Lewistown. I am here to advocate for the children of our community too. As the Christian Education Committee struggles with what to do, we cannot ignore the fact that only 25 of the 100 plus children at this year's Crislin Traveling Day Camp have a church home. That means that 75% of the children do not. Let that sink in for a second. We touched the lives of 75 unchurched children this summer. As you saw in the pictures, a highlight of the Crislin Traveling Day Camp is the overnight to Crislin. And one of the highlights there is what they call Night Fest, a time of singing and praying and sharing the love of the Lord. So traditionally, they stand while singing multiple praise songs at Crislin. And while the Lewistown children were tuckered out, they sat down. I could relate, because I'll tell you right now, I hit 18,476 steps on my Fitbit that day, and I sat down too, and I really thought that would be okay with God. The Lewistown children were better behaved at that point than they had been all week, but they sat down. One of the counselors reprimanded them, not so nicely, telling them, "We stand up when we worship." And the sincere response from one little Lewistown boy was, "Worship? What's worship?" Now let that sink in for a second. So we stood. And that's when I noticed that the first few rows of Night Fest were filled from campers that had been at Crislin all week, base campers. Those of us from Lewistown stood out in our green shirts, and we were behind them. And there were a few from Bedford Presbyterian as well in a traveling day camp. But that's when I noticed that all of them, base campers, were white. I'm not here to tell a story about race. That's not what this is about. But I would bet money on the fact that most of them if not all of them, were backed with tremendous support from their families and home churches. The cost to spend a week at Crislin ranges from $415 to $575 for a specialty camp. I know that the poverty rate at Lewistown Elementary School is something like 75%. So most of our children are poor, with no church family to lift them up when they need lifting. You provided the opportunity for 100 plus children from Lewistown to experience Crislin for about $7,000, a mere $70 per child. And if it weren't for you, they never would have experienced Crislin at all. When we went to Crislin, I had the privilege of helping supervise a group of third and fourth graders, actually because I was assigned to one little stinker in general, with an awesome counselor, though, who came from Poland. During Bible study in the woods on the last day, the counselor asked the campers to share what they had learned and how they had been transformed all week. Chloe, who imagine was pictured playing Gaga ball in a pit, was a first-time camper from Lewistown. I know her well, and I know the baggage that she and her brothers and sisters carry to school every day. She has no church affiliation whatsoever, but outside on the woods on that summer day, Chloe whispered to me, "I used to not think about God at all. Now I think about God. I used to not think about God at all, and now I think about God." And I about cried, and I'm about to cry right now, because that's what we're all about. I shared a comment with you in the panorama, but I'm sharing it again today because last summer, we had a little boy who said on a trail, "Wish I had a Bible." Well, you better believe that he has a Bible now. This is why we do what we do, but we can't continue without more of you. I'm not going to lie, Crislin Traveling Day Camp, Lewistown Community Bible School, Rainbow Summer, they're exhausting. And sometimes the behaviors aren't, they're not the best. And we're not so sure the Crislin counselors are trained or organized enough to handle such situations. So like we said, the Christian Education Committee right now is struggling a little bit. Ginny named our presentation today, "A Year in the Life of Christian Education," on the bulletin. I think it should be, whew, survive that one. Now, you know, the Christian Education Committee is struggling with a lot of things, and I did notice there's a sign out front, though, now says, "Try us, you'll like us." But I don't recall reading in Matthew 28, Jesus saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the well-behaved children in Lewistown whose parents take them to church on Sundays." If we don't teach them about Jesus, who will? Most of these unchurched children were referred to us through the Lumina Center, and we cannot ignore the fact that the Lumina Center is right across the street. There are no coincidences with God. 25 years ago, a group of Methodist churches formed the center called Lumina, Lewistown United Ministries and Neighborhood Action. It's right there. Its mission then and is now is to offer the light of faith, hope, and love to and for the children, youth, and families of Mifflin County in the name of Christ. Isn't our logo something like that? Lost my bulletin, but it says something about shining the light of the gospel into the heart of Lewistown. When Pastor Jim left, I became the church's representative on the Lumina Center's board of directors. Exciting things are happening there. We're taking a new look at some old programs like Rainbow Summer and Fun in the Sun. There's a new director, Catherine Ray. She's awesome, and she is just, her heart is overflowing with the love of Jesus. There are so many opportunities for you, all of you, to directly or even indirectly serve the children of the community by supporting and volunteering at the Lumina Center. A new volunteer at Fun in the Sun this summer asked me one day what she could do, and all I did was point to a little boy sitting alone at a table, and a few minutes later they were playing checkers together and chatting and laughing. Other volunteers assemble power packs, bags of food, so children in Lewistown don't go hungry on the weekends. Volunteers are still needed to pop prepackaged meals in the oven for children in the after-school program that's starting soon. I just pray that our partnership with the Lumina Center grows more than we can imagine. And for starters, a portion of today's program is brought to you by the Lumina Center, which is funded by the United Way and your donations, including this week's ham sandwich sale and the discount restaurant cards. See me, and I thank you for your support. In closing, I think we have a video from, maybe we should just let that go for another time. We had a video from Rainbow Summer, a thank you to you for all of your support. We'll share that another time. Thank you.
To answer the question of who do we serve, our children, community children, it's not an either or, it's a both and. We have committed ourselves to both. Let's join together now as we affirm our faith with Leah. Right? Are we doing that? I am. Okay. We can do that.